Rock 107 WIRX, WIRX.com. It's Brock once again back with Heather, Emily, here to talk about the Michigan Abolitionist Project on a bigger picture, talking about human trafficking. And we've continued this conversation here on WIRX. I got together with MAP, and I've learned so much already in the short time that I've done it and still learning more. And that's what we're doing here with these extended podcasts and these conversations about human trafficking. Real quick, Heather, maybe just lay out again what exactly the Michigan Abolitionist Project is for people and why we're having this conversation.
Yeah, the Michigan Abolitionist Project is an organization that is working to prevent and end human trafficking in Michigan and beyond. And so we do that through a lot of training and education, as well as collaborating with other organizations in Michigan to help stop human trafficking.
And of course, we've had other podcasts. You can check those out, WIRX.com. Everything's on there. So if you missed anything, you want to get caught up, we have it there. I'm going to say three words, and then Heather, you're going to take off with it, and then we're going to lead into supply and demand, and Emily's going to crush that area for us there. So action means purpose. What do those three words have to do with what we're talking about here in human trafficking?
Absolutely. So for a case to be considered human trafficking, three elements need to be present. You need to have an action, a means, and it has to be for a specific purpose. And so the action would include things like inducing someone into labor or committing a commercial sex act, recruiting someone, harboring them, transporting them, providing or obtaining of an individual. Also, to be considered sex trafficking, not for labor trafficking, that could also include patronizing, soliciting, and advertising an individual. So that's the action part. The means, which we talked about in the last episode, would include force, fraud, or coercion. So you have the action, and then the way that it happens would be through force, fraud, or coercion. And then it has to be for a specific purpose, either of compelled labor or services, or of a commercial sex act.
Now, there's a lot there. And like Heather mentioned, we talked about the force, fraud, or coercion part of it and what that all entails, which there's a lot of different ways that these people will do what they do to force people into human trafficking. Mm-hmm. With that, now leading into supply and demand, with what Heather kind of broke down for us, and Emily, I want you to talk about that, because it sounds like I'm just talking about like produce, like it actually involves humans, and in this thing we're talking about human trafficking. So lay out to us supply and demand and how that plays a role, or what that is when it comes to human trafficking.
Well, just like you said, Brock, supply and demand, we have to understand, you know, if this issue of human trafficking, that it's an issue just like all industries generating a large profit, as Heather said earlier. This is an over $150 billion industry. And so these economies, these industries work, operate on the principles of supply and demand. We know that the supply side of human trafficking is the victims, people who are used and exploited, and the demand side is the buyers, the people who are seeking to pay for the services provided by or goods made by the victims. So it starts with the buyers, you have your demand, and then you have the traffickers in the middle of this equation. So the person in the middle, trafficker, human traffickers are those who then employ force, fraud, coercion to victimize others and their desire to profit from the existing demand. So we've got our buyers, our traffickers, our victims. These buyers who are demanding commercial sex, but also there's consumers like you and I who demand and have a desire to buy goods at a cheaper price, which incentivizes corporations to demand cheap labor, often forcing those at the bottom of the supply chain to exploit workers. Real quick, just with commercial sex, we think about the amount of women or men who might be working in this industry, the sex trade, willingly, quote unquote, use those terms loosely. So there's you know, the small percentage of people who are doing this willingly, but the demand for commercial sex is so great. And unfortunately, it's mostly men. The demand for pornography, going to the strip club, going to, you know, who, whatever. The demand for commercial sex is greater than the amount of people who are willingly working in this industry. So that's where traffickers come in. They have to meet the, they profit off that existing demand by luring people in and manipulating them through force, fraud, coercion. They have to trick people into exploiting them and using them for the purpose of making a profit off them. So they look for vulnerable individuals and and victimize them just to meet this existing demand. So if we want to think about how do we stop this issue, where is it coming from, why is this happening? Demand, 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 demand. There's a demand for commercial sex. There's a demand for cheap goods. And so anytime you have something, you know, cheap, and you've got commercial sex, there's going to be someone that's likely exploited on the other end of that. And so analyze yourself, analyze, you know, talk, how do you play a role in this issue? And then, you know, talk with those in your circle about, you know, how do they play a role in demand for either commercial sex or just cheap labor, cheap goods?
It almost seems, I don't know, cold-hearted to lay it out in a way of how we're talking about it. But when you look at the cut and dry and how Emily was putting it out there, it does. It sounds like we're talking about just produce. We're talking about clothes on a rack.
Very unfortunate.
And it is. It's unfortunate because it's human people. We're talking about human beings. Right. And also, too, anyone listening right now, we're not trying to paint us all out as we have blood on our hands and we're guilty of all this, because it's just, there's so much going on, and trying to pinpoint all of this, you may think that, well, no, there's nothing I'm buying, but you don't know. And that's now right. Because there's not been enough of a task force. There hasn't been enough thing put into it. We've almost kind of turned a blind eye to it, which I mean, that's kind of tough. You don't think about when you go to the store that, oh, maybe this product that I'm buying for a low, low price of $9.99 was this way because of exploited labor, or maybe, right. You
and
know,
they hide it.
And they do, of course.
You have to dig and dig and dig to find that information. It's a pain in the butt. Yeah. Supply chains are not transparent at all. They make it very hard.
Yeah. Emily and I, we were just having a conversation about this the other day, that all trafficking really thrives on this idea of lack of transparency, of it being hidden, of it being in the shadows. So whether that's labor and a supply chain being so, the supply chain being so long, so drawn out, so many different suppliers and different people that are involved in it, that you don't actually see the kids that are making the bricks, spending 16 hours a day working, that they're, it's so far down the line to get to the US, to the bricks that we're actually buying here, that we don't even think about what's going on there. And sometimes even the companies don't know. Now there's a lot going on with social and corporate responsibility, where people are starting to realize, oh, we do have a responsibility toward this, but a lot of times they don't know. And many times as consumers, ignorance is bliss. You know, if you are a consumer of pornography or of commercial sex, you don't want to think that this person could be trafficked, that the video that you're watching, actually this person isn't willingly doing these commercial sex acts, but they've been forced into it or tricked into it. Mm-hmm. And we would have no idea, because you can't actually see, you don't have a relationship with that person to know whether or not they're doing this willingly. And so I think a lot of times we can think, or unknowingly even, that ignorance is bliss. Yeah. But that once we start to learn, and once we start to know and recognize, like, these aren't just objects, these are actually people. And when the things that we're consuming, whether it be a commercial sex, whether it be through pornography, or whether it be the products that we're buying, that ultimately there are people involved in all of this, real people who are human beings that are just like you and I, but have been exploited into these industries.
This is so interesting to me. And again, I can't thank you ladies enough for breaking this down. And it just gives you so much more to think about. We've all taken time to cut apart the plastic soda rings because we don't want the sea turtles on it. But
right.
we may not be thinking about the cheap labor, the exploited labor that got us the soda. It's time to really take a look. Like you said, Emily, is you dig and look at it. And two, we're not calling everyone monsters and saying, how dare you not think about this? But this is just something now that is coming to light, that's finally being shown, like, hey, there's way more to this. And there's people being exploited, whether it's that adult video you're watching or that product you're buying. And we just want people to take a deeper look at it, because this is definitely something that needs to change. And again, it's happening here in our area, in Michigan and beyond, in our neighboring states and everything. So we'll break that down. This is just so much to chew on. And of course, we're going to break this all down as we talk more about, you know, who are victims of this, survivors of this, different ways we can help out. Again, conversations for other days. I guess maybe what we can do is to kind of tie this one up is, if anybody has any questions, maybe they want to dig deeper, like Emily said, get in there, root around. Is there a place people can go to find out more? I know we have map-mi.org. Is there some other maybe resources that people can check out? Either one of you have a website for that, or places, numbers, whatever. So
I think while we're on the topic of pornography real quick, like Brock said, we're not trying to, you know, point fingers or make anyone feel, you know, shame or guilt for what they may watch in their spare time. But there is, just to become aware, you know, make yourself aware, because you really don't know who is on the other side of that camera. There's a campaign by an organization, Exodus Cry. And if you type in the hashtag trafficking hub, you will be surprised and quite amazed at what some of the things victims have come forward and said that they've experienced on some of these websites. Refusal to take their videos down, that their own abuse was filmed and posted on these websites, or minors who are unable to take their videos down. It takes months and months for someone to pay attention to them and get. So there's just a lot of those websites aren't policed, and it's starting to come to surface. Victims are coming forward. And so if you are watching or using websites like Pornhub or the like, I encourage you to look up the hashtag trafficking hub and just educate yourself a little bit on some of the, what's going on behind the scenes.
That's great info. And I'll make sure I link that up, hashtag trafficking hub, on there. If anybody missed that, or you can go back to that. Heather, were you going to say something?
Yeah, just one other website too. And this, so yeah, please check out Trafficking Hub. Absolutely. And another one to link would be slaveryfootprint.org. And this is just a website to kind of help you evaluate the things that you're purchasing and consuming, and what your slavery footprint could be. I think it's a powerful website to help us just understand and gain knowledge and understanding of what it is that we're purchasing. So those two are really great as far as helping to kind of take those blinders off and bring those things out of hiding that are in our lives that we probably aren't aware of. And I would say, you know, don't feel shame for these things too, because most times we are not at all aware of what's going on. And that's one of the reasons that MAP exists.
Yeah. It's just all education, and this is an uphill battle, just like we've done with anything, you know, the environment, same thing. We didn't know aerosol was eating the ozone, but now that we're learning, and we're doing the same thing with trafficking, is we want people to just take a deeper look at what's going on in our world, in our backyards, and things we can do to change. And this is great, great info. And I'll make sure this is all linked up for this podcast. I think I'm going to go back to drawing my adult stuff, and I think making my own. I think that's my best option right now. I'll feel better about it. All joking aside, this is wonderful information, and we just want to educate people, and we're going to have more. So please share these videos, share these podcasts, and check out more on their websites, the websites we give you, the hashtags we give you, and educate yourself. And again, I always will end it with, we can end human trafficking together. It's going to take some work, but we got great people in the trenches doing it every single day. So that's right. We will have more. Just stay tuned to WIRX and WIRX.com. Heather, Emily, thank you again so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.